629. Certainly good to be here with you tonight. Glad to see all those present with us here. What Alan said last night, and I also am very humbled to be asked to speak here anytime, or especially for this weekend meeting. As Brother Alan also brought up last night, our theme for this week's meeting is going to be spiritual growth. And we certainly had a very good lesson last night that Brother Alan gave it. And as he mentioned, that also tonight we were going to talk about the importance of a positive attitude to spiritual growth. And we know certainly a positive attitude is something that's good for us to have in our life, but especially if we expect to have spiritual growth in our life. As some of you may know, I work at Alabama Industries for the Blind. And I'm a manufacturing engineer there, and I work with a lot of visually impaired people there. And matter of fact, we have to maintain 75% of legally blind people to be able to run our manufacturing. It's very interesting, something I've noticed there. I've been working there almost 4 years, and there's a pretty wide range of what people are considered to be legally blind. You can have people that are just totally blind and have no sight whatsoever to field of vision, the night vision, different types of things. So we have a range of people that, like I said, have no sight whatsoever to people that can still drive a car and still be considered legally blind. Maybe they can only drive in the daytime or different things like that. But as I noticed these people over the last 4 years, they're you might say their outlook on life and their degree of happiness in their life was not indicated by the severity of their handicap, but it was indicated by their attitude. And you know, you might expect people, maybe someone that was totally blind, they might have a very negative outlook on life. And certainly some of them do. But you know, you see people that have just a little sight, or even our sighted employees, some of those have the worst attitude of anybody that we work with. There. So I thought it was very interesting to think about. You would think sometimes that it would be the other way around, that maybe the handicap that people have, the worse it was. And you know, maybe we think about that in our lives as well sometimes, that maybe the people that have it the hardest are to have the worst attitude, but sometimes that's not the case. So we'd like to look at several different things about a positive attitude and how it applies to our lives. And the first thing we'd like to look at tonight is the danger of a negative attitude. And certainly we know that is the case, that we can't have a negative attitude, and it can affect our lives. And we'd like to look at an example now over in the book of Numbers of the 12 spies of Israel. And if you'll recall there, Moses, as they came there to the promised land, that he was commanded by God to send out 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes to spy out the land, to see if it was the land that they thought it was it flowing with milk and honey, as they said? Was it a good land? And what about the inhabitants thereof? Would they be able to overtake them? And just to give a little bit of background here also, before we get into these verses, as you have to be turning over to Numbers chapter 13, we'll begin reading there in verse 31. But just think about just a few things. We won't look to these scriptures, but the children of Israel here had been led out of Egyptian bondage. And they had seen great miracles that God had done before their lives. And then after they had left Egypt, they had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. You know, as they, time after time, you know, they thought that they were just doomed. And, you know, they got up to the Red Sea there. And, you know, we know the story of Moses parted the Red Sea. But, you know, they didn't go through in ankle-deep water. They didn't go through on muddy ground there. They went through on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, of course, they saw the waters come back and destroy Pharaoh and his armies there. They were led by a pillar of fire there day and night. They were given bread and quail to eat and water from a rock when they had none. So how often do we think about what a negative attitude the children of Israel had after God had done so much for them? Certainly it comes to mind that, you know, it just seemed like that God had just bailed them out time and time. He had blessed them time and time again. And then here comes with a negative attitude once again. Let's look at our scripture here in Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. But the men that went up with him, being Caleb, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is a land that is eaten up of the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in that are in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giant, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So this is what 10 of the 12 saw. They said, this land has got some giants over there. They got some terrible people. But you know, there was two, Joshua and Caleb, that saw it differently. So how could 12 different people look at the same thing, and 10 of them have one opinion of it, and two are having the other opinion? And we're not talking about just a little bit of opinion. We're talking about a great difference in opinion. So I believe their difference was in their attitude. Let's continue reading on in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be afraid? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So the children of Israel, they were so distraught by the message that those 10 brought, that they were up all night, that they just cried. And they said, what are we going to do? God has brought us all this way. They're going to let our children die. Well, we'd be better off if we just appoint us a captain and go back to Egypt. As bad as it was in Egypt, in the bondage there. But then in Numbers chapter 14, still in begin with verse 26, because of their negative attitude, they were punished there. And as I saw on a church sign recently, it said, if you expect defeat, you'll get defeat. If you expect defeat, that maybe is just what you get is defeat. And that's what happened to the children of Israel here. They defeated themselves before they even started. And Numbers 14 began with verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which you have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So, you know, we can say, how important is it to have a positive attitude? Well, it's pretty important, because this group of 10 here had a negative attitude, and they caused everyone from 20 years old and upward, except for Joshua and Caleb, to be destroyed. And they weren't just destroyed immediately. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all those from 20 and up died. Have you ever thought about how many times do you think God looks at us and thinks what a negative attitude we have after he has done so much for us? You know, this old saying, it's real easy to look at other people and their faults, but it's kind of hard to look at our own. And, you know, it's so easy for us to look at the children of Israel and think how foolish they were. That God brought them all this way. And they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the positive attitude that they needed here. But Joshua and Caleb had a positive attitude. In Numbers chapter 13 and verses 27 and 30, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. So all 12 agreed that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't have any question about whether it was a good land or not. The question came with whether or not they'd be able to overtake the people there. In verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And is that a positive attitude or what? He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Wasn't a doubt in Caleb's mind whatsoever that they could overcome it. And also in Joshua 14, verses 7 and 8, we see Joshua's account here saying almost the same thing. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land, out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Joshua had that positive attitude. And Caleb had that positive attitude. They said, let's just go. This is the promised land. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been looking for. And all the rest of the children of Israel said, no, we can't do it. We'd be better off to go back and be in Egyptian bondage and be slaves than to fight these giants. Like I said, many times we look at the children of Israel and think how foolish they were at all these different times in their lives. But like I said, how many times does God look at us and think how foolish we are? And what about our negative attitudes towards the blessings that He has given us and the promises that He has made for us? The value of a positive attitude. We'll look at a few verses now in Nehemiah chapter 4 about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That sounds like a positive attitude, doesn't it? For the people had a mind to work. You know, you may work with people that you can just tell a difference in their attitude. You know, as Brother Allen said last night, Christian people ought to be the hardest working people on their jobs. And certainly they should be. But you know, many times that's not the case. But certainly we should be, as it says here, they had a mind to work. Maybe that's why they were able to build the wall such as they were. Let's go back up in Nehemiah chapter 4 and begin with verse 1. It says, but it came to pass that Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, and he was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So he was basically making fun of them for trying to rebuild the wall. He said, even if a fox goes up, it'll just break down that stone wall that they built. But you know, they did complete the building of the wall, and they did it in record time also. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15 says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elah in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen were about us, saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. So they saw that positive attitude who knows that we built the wall. And they recognized after it was done that that was the hand of God. You know, many times we have to choose to be positive. Recently I was listening to a radio show, and I heard about a young man that I thought had a great attitude despite some physical infirmities that he had, and I'd like to share that with you. His name was Clay Dyer, and he was born in Hamilton, Alabama in 1978, I believe it was. He was born with no legs, no left arm, and only a half of a right arm with one hand. Basically, he had one arm that was deformed there. But it was amazing the thing that this man has accomplished in his life and the positive attitude that he had. It was just amazing just to hear him speak even on the radio, because he's a professional fisherman. He's a bass fisherman. And he's been doing this for about 10 years. He's fished in over 200 bass tournaments. He's won about 20 of them. And let me just read what it says in his bio here. You know, when I first heard this, I thought, well, you know, he fishes in some kind of thing like Special Olympics or whatever, you know, and goes around the country. No, he fishes in regular bass tournaments. He said he refuses to use special equipment, saying, I want to do with one hand the way they do it with two. He casts by tucking the rod under his jaw and whipping it around with a quick left or right twist. He reels in fish while holding the end of the rod under his chin. He ties knots with his tongue and unhooks fish with his teeth. Now, is that a positive attitude or what? I mean, I was driving to work that morning, and, you know, this guy just made me feel good. You know, it made me think about, you know, if I stub my toe today, I'm not going to say anything about it. Because, you know, this guy has some challenges in his life. But you know what? He didn't sit at home and just wallow in pity over himself. Not only did he get out and do something, he does something that I couldn't do. I couldn't make a living fishing. Most of us here probably could. But he makes a living fishing. He goes to motivational speaking. He goes to churches and corporate offices and different things like that with a motivational speech. He chose to be positive. He had a decision to make with those infirmities in his life. He was born that way. He didn't have any choice about that. But he had a choice as to whether he was going to be positive or whether he was going to be negative. And he chose to be positive. And he affected a lot of people. We need to choose to be positive despite external circumstances. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, begin with verse 16. Got another church sign quote for you. I drive a long way to work, and I read a lot of church signs. Every once in a while, I'll make a note of some of them. As we think about this, about choosing to be positive despite external circumstances, this church sign said, too blessed to be stressed. And you know, that ought to be our motto as Christians. We are too blessed to be stressed. But you know what? There's a lot of stressed Christians. And you know, maybe the problem may be the opposite may be true. We're too stressed to be blessed. You know, we're too stressed out over all the things that we have and trying to pay for them and keep them up and keep insurance on them and everything else that we can enjoy the blessings of God. But you know, as a whole, as Christians and also as a people of this country, we are too blessed to be stressed out over things, because when we look at most of the rest of the world are not nearly as blessed as we are, and nobody is as blessed as Christians. Even if we lived in Africa or wherever it is around the country, around the world where we were physically poor, we would still be rich spiritually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, begin with verse 16, says the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth, says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, even if we're born perfectly healthy, you know, our health is going down day by day. You know, we're just slowly dying. It doesn't matter what age we are. We're just slowly dying. Our physical health is going from whatever the best it ever was down basically the rest of our life. But think about our spiritual health. It's going the opposite way. As a lost sinner, it was a zero. But you know what now? We have the opportunity for it to go to infinity. I mean, there's no limit to it. Eternal life is our goal there. So we have an opportunity to grow spiritually. The outward man perished day by day, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Depending on verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Let's pause that for just a minute in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, you know, when that affliction is upon us, it seems like it's going to last forever. But you know, in the scheme of eternity, this life is just a vapor. It just lasts for just a few minutes. And whatever affliction that we have, that's the way God looks at it, that it's just going to be for a moment. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sometimes the things that are causing us problems are the temporary things. And the things that we need to be worried about are the eternal things. We need to choose to be positive despite our external circumstances. Hanging on in chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. But you know, no matter what happens to our earthly body, we know that we have a home in heaven awaiting us as Christians. Let's stay obedient to His Word and remain faithful. We can choose to have a positive attitude despite our external circumstances. And also in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, we see an account here of the Apostle Paul, who spoke here again to the Corinthians, about Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this saying, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Choose to be positive despite external circumstances. That's what Paul did. He had a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't tell us exactly what that was, but it must have been something pretty significant for Paul to have prayed to God three different occasions to remove this. And you know, you would think Paul would have said, look, God, you know, you got a lot of work for you want me to do. You got a lot of journeys I need to make. I'm not, you know, write a majority, a major portion of the New Testament. Be real good if you could take this infirmity off of him. You know, Paul had a whole lot to do compared to what we have to do. But you know what God said? He said, no, my grace is sufficient for this. Because he said, whatever is bothering you, he said, first of all, it's probably going to keep you humble. But also, the second thing is it's going to make you stronger. And that's what we have to look at. You know, Paul did, he accepted the fact that he had this infirmity of the flesh. And he said, look, despite this, I'm going to be positive. Matter of fact, I'm going to glory in this. The fact that he had this problem. Just about the young man I told you about that was a fisherman, made something positive happen out of his life. That's what Paul said. I'm going to make something good come out of this. And also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, again, the Apostle Paul here speaking to us. He talks about contentment here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And you know, that'd be a blessing if we could all learn that. And really abide by it and live by it. To whatever state we're in, therewith to be content. Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, you know, I know how to be high, I know how to be low. He'd been in prison, he'd been not in prison, he'd been beaten, he's been not beaten, he'd been out in the deep, and he'd been on dry land. But he said, you know, whatever circumstance I'm in, he said, I'm going to choose to be positive. You know, with it singing in jail, whatever it is, he's going to be there. He's just going to make a positive, something positive happen out of it. Now, I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do, but that's what Paul did, and that's the example that he left us here. Now, I don't know where this quote came from, but I just recall hearing this one time. I think it goes along with this verse here. It says, life is 1% what happens to you, and 99% how you respond. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Because, you know, we can't do anything about the things that happen to us in our lives. That's the 1%. But how we respond, we can't. We do have something to do with that. We can choose to respond positive or negative. And how we do that is going to depend a lot on what kind of spiritual growth we've had in our life. And if we're, are we going to grow from the things that happened to us, or is it going to bring us down? Next thing we'd like to look at is block out negativity by avoiding negative people. And you know, there's going to be times we're going to come in contact with people that are negative, and sometimes we may come in contact with them to try to, you know, bring them around. But you know, we can't spend all our time around negative people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. But most of you could quote this verse without even looking at it. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. We need to be careful. We've got to be around negative people because they're going to bring us down. And, you know, we might think, well, I'm going to be around them and I'm going to bring them up. But, you know, that isn't always the case. Sometimes it can go the other way. And, you know, a lot of times when we're around negative people, a lot of times, then we get to feel the negative. You know, that's the opposite. It's true sometimes when you're around positive people, you start feeling good. You know, you ever know sometimes when you have revivals in the summer, you have revivals in the fall, you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, or whatever, you might have that same feeling when you come home as you do when you've been at work and you've been around a bunch of worldly people. You may not have that same feeling. But maybe you've been around negative people. And sometimes we may work with some negative people. Maybe we can't get around that. Maybe we need to try to work with them when we can. But, you know, when it comes to choosing our friends and our manner of life and the lifestyle we lead, we do have a choice about that. And, you know, as we become a Christian and as we become a stronger Christian, as we grow as a Christian, you know, we're going to have to change some of our habits. Maybe we can't go to places that we used to go and do the things that we used to do. Next, we'd like to look at surround yourself with positive people. It goes along with what we were just talking about here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It talks about surrounding yourself with positive people who encourage you to do right. I know you hear verse 24 and 25 used many times about encouraging people to attend the services of the church. And certainly that's part of it. But listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You ever provoked anybody? Probably all of us have. But you ever provoked anybody in a negative way? You know, we can provoke our children. We can provoke our co-workers or whatever. We have a problem the other day with one of our co-workers that, you know, he had a problem working with this group and with this group and that group. And you know what it was? I mean, people, they found out what they could do to provoke him, and, you know, it just caused a problem. But, you know, it's pretty easy to provoke somebody in a negative way, but have you ever provoked someone in a positive way? If you ever provoke them to do something good, encourage them to do something that was right, that was positive. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good work. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we need to be a positive influence to others. To encourage them, not only to encourage them their attitude, but to encourage them into love and to good works. Surrounding yourself with positive people to encourage you to do what is right. You know, that's one reason why, you know, we come together on Sunday morning for the main reason to partake of the Lord's Supper. But you know, the other times, I believe one of the main reasons that we come together is to encourage one another. And certainly we can encourage one another and we can be encouraged. It's just as, you know, as tonight, you know, if I'd have called and said, let us tell them I'm not coming tonight. Ball game on TV and I got involved in it and it's not coming. Well, you know, you wouldn't have been very encouraged by that. You said, well, You know, he's going to talk to us about positive attitude tonight, and he didn't show up. You know, if you, it encourages me for you to be here tonight. And it's a circle as we go and encourage one another. Next, we'd like to look at spiritual growth shown in attitudes. We'd like to look at three different passages here in the attitudes that we can glean from these. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, we see spiritual growth shown in attitudes of humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness, and thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, begin with verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now let me ask you two questions here. Are these attitudes that a Christian should have? Humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness, and thanksgiving? I think certainly we'd all agree that those are attitudes that a Christian should have. The second question is, as I ask you and I ask myself, are those a part of my life? Does that describe me or does that describe you? If that doesn't describe us fully, then that's where spiritual growth comes. That's going to be our goal, that we're going to strive toward those things in our lives. Look at another passage over in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 12, we look at these, the spiritual growth shown in attitudes of patience, generosity, hospitality, compassion, and honesty. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Divide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, we ask ourselves, as we think about spiritual growth and the attitudes of patience, generosity, hospitality, compassion, and honesty that we read in these verses. Number one, are those attitudes that a Christian should have? Certainly, we would all agree that they are. Secondly, are they in my life? Are they in your life? Again, if they're not, then we need to have that as our goal in Christian growth. Next, we'd like to look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. We'll look at the attitudes of renewal, kindness, and tenderheartedness, as well as some of the others we've already mentioned. For this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greeting you. But ye have not so learned Christ. Or you have not been Christ-like. And you know, as we think about these last few things that we've been reading here, probably a lot of you have been saying, you know, that's not really attitude you're talking about. Because I think about attitude, a lot of people do, is like when you've been fussing with your family and somebody calls and on the telephone, you can pick it up and you give that cheery voice and go, hello, how are you? And then hang up and start back over what you're fussing about. Or the people at work do the same thing. You're right. It's not that kind of attitude that just is how I feel in the morning. It's an attitude, is a way of life. It's not just something we put on in the morning and take off in the afternoon. It's an attitude of spiritual growth that, as Alan talked about last night, is something that we'll go through throughout our whole life. We'll be striving to be Christ-like, but we'll never get there. But it'll still be improvement for us to make throughout our Christian life. Let's continue on reading here in verse 21. This shall be that you have heard him and been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man or manner of life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, Brother Allen talked about that last night, and we're going to talk just a little bit about it tonight, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, because that's where it's all at. That's where that positive Christian attitude is at. It's in our mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. You ever notice that the Bible said to be angry? Of course, it doesn't mean to go around and be angry all the time. But you know, sometimes people will tell you, well, you know, you don't need to get angry. But you know, anger is an emotion. If you're a human being, you're going to get angry probably sometime. We need to work on it as Christians to the degree of it. But notice what it says, be angry and sin not. Anger is just going to be like a temptation. It's going to come upon us, but it's what we do with that anger. And notice what it says after that, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, if it does affect you all day, it shouldn't affect you tomorrow. Need to give place to the devil. And that's what we do. When we let anger take over our lives, then we give place to the left, to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So we see the Christian attitude, the positive attitude we're supposed to have is a little bit more than just feeling a certain way and acting a certain way when we go to work or whatever. It's something that we have all the time. And you know, a worldly attitude opposes spiritual growth. You know, we may not think about that very much, but you know, the world says it's right the opposite. Almost every one of these scriptures we said here. Somebody does the least thing to you, not only get mad at them, but you need to sue them and beat them up and do whatever you can to take revenge upon them. But you know, the Bible tells us to forgive and to be tenderhearted and to be angry and sin not. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that we read last night, says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. You know, if you think about what happens when we're conformed to this world. You know, this glass I have here is kind of like a triangle. That water conforms to the shape of that glass. You know, if I put this water in a different shape, it's going to conform to that shape. I could have hundreds of different vessels to put that water in, and it would change shape with each one of them. But you know, if that solidifies in some way, it's not going to change every time I put it in something else. It's going to fit a mold. And that mold, it needs to fit according to the Bible and God's Word. And that's really what we need to have. We don't need to change as the conditions around us change. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Brother Allen said so right last night, it's not something that's going to happen today or tomorrow or whatever else. It's going to be a continual process throughout our life. We need to choose to have that positive attitude, but we need to work on that positive attitude throughout our lives and get better and better and better and better at it. You know, a positive attitude helps us to grow spiritually. But you know, it also helps those around us as well. When they see us as Christians having that positive attitude, you know, Christians ought to be the happiest people on this earth. Not because of what we have physically, but what we have, the hope of eternal glory. But you know, sometimes people don't see that in us. But they ought to see that sparkle in our eyes, kicking our step, or whatever it is. They ought to see that in our lives and they go, you know, there's just a little bit something different about that person. They've got something. And you know, I'd like to have it. But you know, just as the children of Israel, they came right up to the promised land. God had promised it to them. And they came right up there. And they even got to look over to the other side, isn't it? They sent the 12 spies out. And you know, if you remember, none of the 12 said, no, it's not what God said it'd be. That wasn't what any of them said. They said, oh, we've got grapes and pomegranates and figs. And they even brought some back with them. They said, it's just as good as he said. It might have been better than he said. None of them said it wasn't as good. Just the 10 said, it's too hard. We can't take it. Knowing God had promised it to them. But you know, what about us today? Our promised land is heaven. It's been promised to us. We know it's there. It's waiting. Are we going to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, let's go up and take it at once? Are we going to be like the other 10 and say it's just too hard? The obstacles are too big and we just can't make it. You know, we have to realize that God's still in charge. You know, there may be a lot of bad things happen in this life and in this world, but you know, God's still in charge. And that home in heaven still waits to talk. Is any here tonight that never rendered obedience to the gospel? Are those that have and stayed away, or if we could pray with you and for you to help you to have a positive attitude for spiritual growth, if we could assist you in any way, we ask you to come while we stand. Sing a song of invitation.
Oh, do not.